Inductive Studies in 2 Samuel. Theme of the book, David, a man after God's own heart. Time of the book, after the death of Saul. Message of the book, evidence of godly submission. The book of 2 Samuel serves as a biography of David's life after he became king of Israel. In 1 Samuel, we saw his preparation for being Israel's greatest king. He began as a shepherd, developing sensitivity and care as he tended his sheep. Next, we find him in the palace, gaining an understanding of what kingly responsibilities involve. Third, we find him in the wilderness learning toughness as he fled for his life from Saul's onslaughts. It was from this period and experiences that caused him to write many of his psalms. He learned how to trust God through difficult circumstances. Finally, as king, he learned how to lead, but most of all, he learned to trust God and experience God's blessings in his life. These were all the basic training he received before becoming king. In 1 Samuel, we discover God giving the people of Israel a king after their own hearts. But now, in 2 Samuel, we find God giving to the nation a king after God's own heart. As we view this study in the life of David, we find that what made him great was his total dependence on and recognition of God's sovereignty in his life. As we go through the book, we will discover certain things that happened to David and what his response was to them. First, we see at the very beginning his respect, not only for the authority of God, but also for the authority of those God has appointed to rule over him or alongside him. Though he had every opportunity to destroy Saul, he refused to take matters into his own hands, even regarding his enemies. So, he learned to trust God in these matters. Next, we find David excited about building a house for God, but he was disappointed immediately after God told him that he was not the man and that this was not the time. He could have been better, but he accepted God's answer graciously. Again, we find David in his failure to turn away from temptation, and through the slaying of Uriah the Hittite, he was confronted by the prophet Nathan with this horrible sin. David could have slain the prophet, but instead, he accepted his message as from God and bowed willingly as he honestly faced the enormity of his sin and its consequences. Finally, we see David as his kingdom dissolves before him, and once again he bows his life to God's authority, accepting the consequences of his actions without protest. Toward the end of his reign, he unwittingly decided to number the children of Israel, trusting in his numbers rather than trusting God alone. God gave him a choice on the judgments he would receive. Once again, he gave himself into God's hands and accepted the one God chose. Even at that time, God had mercy on David and did not give him the full measure of the punishment determined for him. Toward the end of his life, his son Absalom was determined to steal the kingdom from him, and even at the death of his son, who became his enemy, he desired only good for him. He deeply grieved when his son was slain, even though the kingdom was once again his. Through these activities, we find what it means to be a man after God's own heart. He learned how to honor God above all things, and as a result, God honored him. We find above all that the merciful God is constantly merciful to those who submit themselves under his divine authority in all areas of life. Perhaps that is the main lesson we can learn from the life of David. God promised to him that there would never cease to be a king over Israel, and we find that as a fact at the arrival of David's greater son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Discussion questions. 1. In 1 Samuel, we find David in the pasture as a shepherd, in the palace as a musician, on the battlefield as a hero, and finally in the wilderness as a fugitive. How did these experiences prepare him for being the next king? 2. In chapter 1, 1-10, David received a visitor. What was his message in verse 10? What did he do that was wrong? Read 4:10 for an explanation. What was the outcome of his action? Read chapter 4 concerning Saul's son Mephibosheth. 3. What do these incidents tell us about the heart of David? How does this describe him as a man after God's own heart? What was David's response to the message? 4. Read verses 17-27. It is a lamentation over the death of Saul and Jonathan. What does this lamentation tell us further about the great heart of David expressing the great love of God? 5. In chapter 2, three important events are noted. In verse 1, what lesson are we to learn about doing God's will? 2. When did David officially become king? See verses 3-4. Why did God send David to Hebron? What was the first act performed by David as king? Read verses 5 to 7. In chapter 2, a division occurred between the house of Saul and the house of David. Who became the king in Saul's house? 6. What happened in 5:1-10? How did Jerusalem become the city of David? 7. In chapter 7, what great thing came to David's mind? What was God's response and why? Read the chapter to determine the desire of David, the answer from God, the promise of an answer, and the covenant made by God to David. 8. Chapter 11 describes the fall of David. This chapter describes in detail the specific steps that led to his fall. How did David try to cover his sin? Through this, of what major crimes was he guilty? 9. From chapter 12, discuss the great mercy of God in restoring David. What future consequences lay before him because of his sin? The remainder of the book deals with the times after the fall. 4. Psalm 51 deals with David's prayer of contrition. How may apply to me? In chapter 24, what further act of David caused great turmoil among his people? In verse 1, what is described? 5. What warning did David fail to acknowledge? See verse 3. 12. In verse 4, what did David decide to do? From verse 8, how long did it take for this numbering to occur? 13. In verse 10, what happened to David after he had done this? 14. David's sin had severe consequences for others. See verses 11 to 17.